conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Leela Purushottam Prabhuji. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 5, canto 5, chapter 19, verse 10. Before that, I'll hand over the call to Sureshwar Shyam Prabhuji to give brief introduction of Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhu, please take out the call.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavatana, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. His Grace Leela Purushottam Prabhuji is a Diksha disciple of His Holiness Ramapada Swami Maharaj. He is originally from Orissa and is naturally a devotee of Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu since his early age. It has been more than 30 years that Prabhuji is practicing Srila Prabhupada's teachings and preaching vigorously. Currently working as a senior professor at IIT Kanpur, he sets an example of perfect grihastha. Since the last 20 years, his house at IIT Kanpur hosts every single day complete morning and evening programs, and many IIT graduates participate in it. Also, IIT, IIM Indore, IIT Patna, IIM Indore, and Dehradun City are his other places of preaching. He delivered many lectures on the science of Bhagavad Gita in many prominent institutes worldwide, including MIT. His tireless preaching efforts has brought many young IIT grads into Krishna consciousness. Currently, he is serving as the director of ISKCON Gurukul Vrindavan and the director of Bhagavad Gita Pathashala, Dehradun. He was also the former president of ISKCON Kanpur. He recently launched an online Bhagavad Gita course on the website Learn Gita, Live Gita, which is an initiative from ISKCON Gurukul Vrindavan. This course has over 60 video lectures and 10 lessons that present Bhagavad Gita very systematically. Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Back to you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on the Srimad Bhagavatam. We miss you, Prabhu, after long. Thank you so much for giving your valuable association
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, yeah, Mataji, sir is just joining.
Okay, Prabhuji.
I just log in into his computer. He is joining.
Yeah, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanvach Pranam. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning. It's been a long time, Prabhuji. We have your class. Thank you, Prabhuji. And I'll hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, sorry, Mataji, it was a little late, I think.
That's okay, Prabhuji. Welcome to the...
Okay. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, The Island of Jambudvipa, Text 10. Tam Bhagavan Narado Varnasrama Bativir Bharativir Prajavir Bhagavat Proktabhyam Sankhya Yogya Yogabhyam Bhagavat Anubhavo Pavarnanam Savarner Upadekshyamanaha Paramabhakti Bhaveno Pasarati Idam Chavi Krunati. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In his own book, known as Narada Pancharatra, Bhagavan Narada has very vividly described how to work to achieve the ultimate goal of life, devotion. Through knowledge and through execution of the mystic yoga system, he has also described the glories of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The great sage Narada, instructed the tenets of this transcendental literature to Savarni Manu in order to teach those inhabitants of Bharatavarsha who strictly follow the principles of Varnasrama Dharma how to achieve the devotional service of the Lord. Thus Narada Muni, along with other inhabitants of Bharatavarsha, always engages in the service of Naranarayana and he chants as follows. Purport: Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has clearly declared, Bharata Bhumita Hoila Manushya Janma Jar, Janma Sarthaka Kori Koro Paro Upakar. The real success or fulfillment of the mission of human life can be achieved in India, Bharatavarsha, because in Bharatavarsha, the purpose of life and the method for achieving success are evident. People should take advantage of the opportunity afforded by Bharatavarsha. And this is especially so for those who are following the principles of Varnasrama. If we do not take to the principles of Varnasrama Dharma by accepting the four social orders, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, and four orders of spiritual life, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Banaprastha and Sannyasa, there can be no question of success in life. Unfortunately, because of the influence of Kali Yuga, everything is now being lost. The inhabitants of Bharatavarsha are gradually becoming degraded, mlechas and yavanas. How then will they teach others? Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement has been started not only for the inhabitants of Bharatavarsha, but for all people of the world, as announced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is still time, and if the inhabitants of Bharatavarsha take this movement of Krishna consciousness seriously, the entire world will be saved from gliding down to the hellish condition. The Krishna conscious movement follows the process of Pancharatrika Vidhi and that of Bhagavad Vidhi simultaneously, so that people can take advantage of the movement and make their lives successful. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurvani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschati Desatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Thank you, dear devotees, for allowing me to get engaged in discussing Krishna Katha. Machitta Madgatta Prana Bodhayantaha Parasparam Katayantascha Mam Nityam Tushyanticha Ramanticha. This is the method by which devotees, they feel happy by sharing the knowledge of Krishna consciousness and hearing the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. And I'm really grateful to all of you to allow me to speak on this particular verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 9, Islands of Jambudipa. Jambudipa has been glorified in many Puranas, and Bharatavarsha is one of the part of Jambudipa. And people normally here are interested in understanding the higher purpose of life. As we are seeing that how this particular verse talks about that Narada Muni instructed the tenets of this transcendental literature. This literature is Narada Pancharatra. in order to teach those inhabitants Bharatavarsha. So Narada spoke to Sravani Manu about the process, how to worship Krishna. And it's written, Bharatavarsha, who strictly follow the principles of Varnashrama Dharma. So there are two things. It implies here that for practicing or cultivating the goal of human life, we need certain regulated life. And Varnashrama gives us that regulation. That means everybody acts according to their nature and connects their nature to Krishna consciousness or to please Krishna. So everybody can be situated in whatever nature they are. Some are administrators, some are intellectuals, some are business people, some are service provider, some are there in brahmacharya life or student life, some householder life. So there are retirement life, sannyasa life. So people had created a scientific structure of regulating the our daily lifestyle in a way that is conducive to understand the higher principle of life. When we are drowned within the ocean of nescience, ignorance, all pervading, in that status, it is very difficult to ever have a hope to get an inkling of divinity. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Vishaya vinivartante nirahārasya dehina. Vishaya vinivartante nirahārasya dehina. Rasovarjyam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. We are not able to continue our spiritual life because we don't have divine experience. Param drishtva nivartate. We may hear the soul is eternal. We are soul, we are unit of consciousness, we are part and parcel of Krishna, we have a natural affinity, or there is a spontaneous attraction between us and our master. We can all hear this, but unless and until we experience the divinity, we experience that joy of being situated in self, it is not possible to take the next step. So that is why there is a Varnashrama. The most scientific way to engage people in a very constructive manner, spiritually constructive manner, because people can be engaged. The modern world is also using people in so many varieties of work, but they are not conducive for the fulfillment of the goal of life. And this is the biggest drawback of the current civilization. In this current civilization, because of lack of varnashrama. And it is not that varnashrama was not there when Lord Krishna came 5,000 years ago. It was very much there. The varnashrama was there. But in spite of varnashrama, people were not connected to Krishna. Hardly anybody knew Krishna. Krishna was considered as a cowherd boy. Jarasandha is a great worshipper of both cows and brahmanas. Duryodhana and his party, we know how Karna was a great charity person. But Vedavadarata Partha, these people were simply attracted to the fruitive activity part of the Vedas, where they wanted to gratify their senses. And hence, even 5,000 years ago, very few understood who is Krishna. Even if Krishna was present, as far as Duryodhana and his party is concerned, the huge army they brought in to fight against Pandavas, I think except two, nobody understood Krishna. One is Bhishma, who was fighting. The other is Vidura, who fled from Hastinapur, or who not fled. He gave up Hastinapur and went on a pilgrimage. Only two. Krishna was personally present. If you look at, of course, Pandava side were pure devotees of Krishna. And as a devotee of Krishna in their side, many knew who is Krishna. And not only that, after Mahabharata battle, Yudhishthira Maharaj established a kingdom where people were educated in Krishna consciousness. And after Maharaj Yudhishthira, we know the example of his grandson, Maharaj Parikshit, who also established a Krishna conscious kingdom. And we know that how Maharaj Parikshit, in his tenure, didn't allow anywhere meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, and intoxication to take place. Not only that, he spent all his treasury earning in propagating Krishna consciousness, teaching people about the teachings of Krishna. Of course, by that time, Bhagavad Gita has become a handy book for everyone. And this great literature, Bhagavad Gita, as Krishna says, he spoke that knowledge to Sun God, and Sun God spoke to Manu. So that must have taken place at least, because Vaivasvata Manvantara, this is the 28th Divya Kalpa. So if you multiply 4.3, so approximately 120 million years. So at least that much time, and before that, Lord Krishna spoke. But because of the influence of time, the interpretation of that knowledge got diluted from the knowledge as it is. So new parampara started from Krishna. And Krishna is the source of the parampara. We have to recognize this. So the very basis of this material world is to elevate the conditioned soul back to Godhead. That is the purpose of this material world. We are supposed to, and material world has varieties of manifestation from Patala Loka to Brahma Loka, 14 planetary systems. In particular, Bharatavarsha is known for the place of devotion. That is why we see that Lord personally appears in this particular Varsha from time immemorial. It's not that Lord has not appeared in other Varshas. He appears in Sargoloka, he appears in Patala Loka, and lower planetary system also. But his extraordinary pastimes that really take place in this Varsha, because the constitution of this particular Varsha is such that people can easily recognize the asaswatam and dukhalam nature of this world. Because if you go to the lower planetary system where there is no sunlight, you go to the lower planetary system, there is no sunlight. You go to the higher planetary system, there is a lot of opulence, a lot of enjoyment. So obviously, by constitution, this place is such that we can easily realize that how hard we may try, our life is short, we'll be diseased, we will die, and only result of any of our actions, most of the time, is only misery. That is why, as Prabhupada starts with the quote, Bharata Bhumite Hoila Janama Jara, Janma Sarthaka Kari Karo Paro Upakar. This land of Bharatavarsha, which is given after Maharaja Bharata, the son of great Rishabdev, is so suitable to practice Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada, whenever he met his Indian, any Indian in America or Europe during his preaching time, he would always advise Indians to come back to India, perfect their life, practice Krishna consciousness, and spread Krishna consciousness. Revati Mataji was telling me that Prabhupada made a statement where he said, sun never sets on India. Sun never sets on India. This and my personal example, I have spent my time, I've gone some time outside India, but which part of India I go, I feel at home spiritually. The reason is that to practice Krishna consciousness, you need a conducive atmosphere. And even if we are not so great in terms of varieties of social parameters, but still, most of Indians, even now, can appreciate any activity that helps us in understanding Krishna consciousness. You see, one very important point was told here, that Prabhupada also, not only Pancharatrika Vidhi, Bhagavata Vidhi, by which we practice Krishna consciousness, but one of the very key word was transcendental knowledge. What is this transcendental knowledge? Prabhupada translated the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Jnana Yoga, as transcendental knowledge. So how this chapter starts? This chapter starts after the third chapter. Third chapter is about Karma Yoga. So in the beginning, Krishna explained that any action we do, we would incur reaction. And that would perpetuate our cycle of birth and death. And hence, action must be performed for the pleasure of Vishnu or Krishna. In meaning, inaction, because normally, when Arjuna was thinking, even those days, many people were impersonalist. And it is very easy, because materially, if you try to speculate, then you realize that anything we do here will have a reaction. And that reaction would perpetuate our cycle of birth and death. So naturally, what impersonalists do, they perform severe austerities. They repress their senses in so many ways, so that they remain inactive. So majority of them, they would go to the places like Himalayas, where I am now also, I am currently present, and find some isolated place, okay, by which, where they practice sense control. So is that the inaction by which we can be liberated? But Krishna doesn't agree in Bhagavad Gita. That's a method. But Krishna says, Agyarthat karmana anyatra lokayam karma vanna tadartham karma kaunte mukta sangha samaj. So Krishna spoke about what is inaction. Inaction means acting for the pleasure of Krishna. That is inaction. Why? And Prabhupada very clearly explaining, because we have to act. We have a material nature. Based on the material nature, we will act anyway. And because we will act anyway, it is better to recognize that everything belongs to Krishna. Krishna is the supreme proprietor. So connect all our actions for his pleasure. And that is devotional service. And then in the third chapter, Krishna talked about prescribed duty. And he said, it is Vishnu who prescribed our duties. He called the demigods and humans and told, what are your prescribed duty? So this prescribed duty is not man-made. This prescribed duty is given to us. The world is given to us. And how the world can be conducive for spiritual enlightenment, it only is known perfectly to Krishna, because he is the creator. So he has given the prescribed duty. And this prescribed duty are meant to please him. So these prescribed duties, it is said later, like 1.9 and 10 to 16 and 17 onwards, he talks about that this prescribed duty even purifies those who are liberated soul. Krishna explains who is a liberated soul, who is self-situated, is a liberated soul. Sita Pragyasa Kavasa. Krishna explained in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So when he is talking about that even people like Janaka, he himself, he is the absolute truth, but he performs his prescribed duty, getting up early morning, meditating on himself, giving charity to Brahmanas. So everybody must perform prescribed duties. So, because we all have a spiritual nature, that I am Atma, I am the unit of consciousness, I am part and parcel of Krishna. That is my spiritual nature. But along with that, I have a material nature. I am made up of, my material body is made up of three gunas: mode of passion, mode of ignorance, and mode of goodness. And hence, based on what I am made up of, I have a material nature and I am also having a spiritual nature. So what Varnashrama does is keeps a balance between our material nature and spiritual nature, such that there is a progress in understanding of the spiritual nature. So we, in the third chapter, after Krishna spoke about that even the prescribed duties purifies liberated souls. And then he talked about, or Arjuna asked a question, Arjuna asked that question that, Krishna spoke after he said that that prescribed duties liberates even the, and yadada acharati srashta tata deva tarjana, because people, those who are in leadership position, they must practice or they must follow the varnashrama dharma in a way that others can follow. Because normally, whatever the great people do, others simply follow. And then he talked about how varnashrama is the most scientific, constructive engagement for everyone to progress in spiritual life. And that's why he concluded that section saying, Sodharma nidhanam shreya, puro dharma bhayava. So Arjuna understood varnashrama. Yes, he follows also varnashrama. But he has gone through this experience because he sees being part of great Kuru dynasty, Kuru family. There everybody followed varnashrama, so-called varnashrama. But what happened? Even after following varnashrama, they were tortured. There was a conspiracy to kill them. They were sent to exile. So he's asking this question. If varnashrama is everything, then why we commit such cruelty, such sinful action? So that was the Arjuna's doubt. So Krishna said, it is lust. So basically Krishna is teaching Arjuna, your enemy is not Duryodhana and his party. Your enemy is the lust within you. All of our enemy is sitting within us. My enemy is my lust. Your enemy is your lust. And this lust takes the shape of wrath until it destroys us completely. So Krishna gave the advice, O Arjuna, these lust sits not only in our senses, not only in our mind, also in our intelligence. Everywhere, this lust is there. And how to conquer this lust? So he is giving this example of that, because intelligence is superior to mind is superior to senses. So we must spiritualize our intelligence. So if we spiritualize our intelligence, then that spiritual intelligence will guide the mind in right path. When mind is controlled, senses are controlled. So that ended with the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Varnasrama. Even if you follow Varnasrama, but if you are not spiritually impregnated, Varnasrama will not work. So fourth chapter came, transcendental knowledge. So what is transcendental knowledge? If you look at the fourth chapter, from verse number 1 to verse number 9, Krishna revealed himself, who he is, completely. He has revealed. Second chapter also he revealed. He also revealed in third chapter. But he is completely revealing himself now. First he said that he is the source of parampara. And then he says that only those who are his devotee, his friend, they can understand the transcendental knowledge. Our transcendental knowledge will be revealed to those who are faithful to him only. And then he makes a distinction between Jiva and him, because Arjuna asked this question, but how could you give this knowledge to Sun God, whereas you are my contemporary? And Krishna replies that I know past, present, future. You don't know. You have gone with me to so many planets, wherever I have gone. But you don't remember. I remember. And then he talks about his own transcendental nature. How he is unborn. How he is unchangeable. So, and then he says, Ida ida hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuthanam adharmasya tadatmanam sujamya paritranaya sadhunam vinasaya chatuskrutam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yugevi. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, Krishna doesn't have to come here to kill the demons. Okay? Demons can be killed so easily by Krishna's laws of nature. Okay? Krishna also can send his representative to establish religion, adharma. But Krishna is saying here that paritranaya sadhana, he says that. He comes here to give his association to his dear devotees. Remember that wonderful pastimes of Krishna, where Arjuna didn't fight in the, Lord Balaram didn't participate in the Mahabharata battle. He went for a pilgrimage. That time, he was hosted by the king Janaka. Janakapuri. Janakapuri is in Nepal now. And King Janaka hosted Balaram and very nicely served him. And he pleased him so much that he prayed to him, please, please send Krishna to my place. I want to host him. And so after Mahabharata battle was over, Balaram returned to Dwaraka and there he requested Krishna to visit Janakpuri. In Janakpuri, there are two devotees. One is the king, the other is a poor Brahmin. So message has gone that Krishna is coming and both of them are so ardent devotee of Krishna. They have made their own arrangement to receive Krishna. In one side, the king, along with his entourage, accompanied by Brahmins, are reciting hymns, blowing the consoles, spread off, the scented water is being spread everywhere and waiting for Krishna. The other side, the Brahmana and his poor friends, with torn dhotis and with some garlands and everything. They are waiting. So the king is thinking, why this poor fellow is wasting his time? Krishna is coming, accepting my invitation. The Brahmana is also thinking the similar way. Why this arrogant king is here? Krishna belongs to Akinchana, those who are impoverished, those who do not have material desire. Krishna will only accept his invitation. So anyway, both of them are waiting, and Krishna came in his entourage. There are sages, there are so many. When Krishna comes, he will not come alone. He has come with his so many other entourage. And now you see what's happening. One side, the king looking at Krishna coming. The other side, the Brahmana. Both are getting excited. Both are, feeling, the goosebump in their body that they are going to receive Krishna. And but as you know, that Krishna is so brilliant that he multiplied his entourage into two. So one party went towards the king and the other party went towards the Brahmana. But he made the other party invisible to the other. That means when king saw Krishna is actually coming towards him, he could not see that Krishna is coming to the other side or also going to the other side. So he is jubilant and he is thinking, poor Brahmana was waiting for hours. Finally, Krishna accepted my invitation. Similar thing happened to the Brahmana also. Brahmana is thinking, a Brahmana saw Krishna is actually coming. Because before that, both of them were in anxiety because both are ready to receive Krishna. So, but when Brahmana saw Krishna is coming towards him with his entourage, he was jubilant and he was thinking, the poor king, he must be so disappointed. But this is how Krishna is. He performs, he likes to perform his lila with his devotees. He is so extraordinary. And that is the main reason why Krishna comes or he appears. He appears to give the joy to his devotees. Otherwise, he has nothing. Now, this material world is a filthy place. Who would stay here? You cannot even trust your most near and dear ones in this world, and particularly in Kali Yuga. So Krishna finally said, Janma Karma Chame Dibyam Evam Yobeti Tatvata Tektva Deham Punar Janma Naiti Mameti Swaraj. So basically, in the first section of the fourth chapter, Krishna has made it very clear that what is transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge means knowing the transcendental nature of Krishna. Okay? He may appear among the fish. He may appear among the lower species like Baraha, Kurma, doesn't matter. Or he appears as a cowherd. I was telling today in the morning that in Odisha, when we were, we were growing up, it was always told to us that those who are cowherds, they get maturity after the age of 80, almost at the time of death. And that's how the cowherds were looked down in the Varnasrama system. So you can imagine Krishna appeared as a cowherd. So how derogatory remarks Sisupala made for Krishna, Jarasandha made. Everyone, they thought he's a mere cowherd. But this is the mistake for the materialist. When they don't have a divine vision, they cannot understand who is Krishna. So Krishna is saying, Janma karma chame dibyam. Janma, my birth. Karma, my activities. Dibyam, transcendental. They are not of this world. So to understand this nature of Krishna, whoever understands this nature of Krishna will attain. He says, Deham taktva punarjanma naiti mameti swarja. He is at once liberated. At once liberated. Simply knowing the transcendental nature of Krishna. We don't have to work very hard. So how do we understand the transcendental nature of Krishna? Krishna is revealing. He is saying that I am the absolute truth. 4, 5, 6. Verse number 4, 5, 6 in fourth chapter, Krishna made it very clear. He is the absolute truth. And 7, 8, see, he said he alone comes here in different avatars to set up or to establish dharma. So he is the absolute truth, and to know his transcendental nature is the goal of human life. And this transcendental nature we can understand not by some speculation. It's not by some speculation you can understand. And then next section in the fourth chapter, verse number 10 to I think 15, Krishna says, you follow my path, you accept me, you accept Krishna as the absolute truth, or you don't accept. In both way, you surrender to Krishna. Yatha mam prapadyante tam satami bhajamya. Mama vartmano vartante manushya partha sarvasa, sarvasa. Every man will follow finally the path of Krishna, because you willingly follow Krishna, or you unwillingly follow Krishna because his laws of nature will make you old. His laws of nature will make you diseased. His laws of nature will give you another birth. You accept, don't accept. Doesn't matter. Everybody follows the path of Krishna, willingly or unwillingly. We are all surrendering to Krishna directly or indirectly to Maya. Everybody is surrendering. Nobody is a master here. By observation, we can recognize that nobody is a master. Everybody is acting as a puppet. It is better we become willingly puppet of Krishna than by forced puppet. Hiranyakashipu wanted to live eternally, was annihilated. Ravana wanted, he wanted to even make a direct stair, staircase to heavenly planets, such that everybody in this material, in this earthly planet, will immediately go to the heavenly planets to enjoy. He was also annihilated. So nobody, everybody will fall victim to the laws of nature. Nobody can survive. So then Krishna, after this section in the chapter 4, he talks about verse number 18 to 24, there are varieties of actions, right? Karma means you perform some action and there is a reaction. Like if I eat a fruit, then the tree that has given me fruit, I'm indebted to that tree. You simply don't think that because you have paid some money to some vendor, you got you have no action and no reaction. No. For everything, I don't have to go in details. All of you know this. So karma means for every action, there is a reaction. Vikarma means meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication. They are vikarma. Because anybody who performs vikarma, they will certainly end up in the hellish situation, hellish life, and then inaction. So this section says, those who can see action in inaction, inaction in action, they are the real seer. Because Arjuna was thinking, those impersonalists in his time were sitting without doing anything. Because he has visited 12 years in exile. And during Varanavata, when they were a small kid, they were sent. At that time, the conspiracy was to kill them. That time also they lived in forest for almost 8 years. So he has spent almost 28 years of his life in jungles. And he has seen the mostly impersonalist and performing severe austerities. He enjoyed their association, there is no doubt. So for him, inaction means that. But Krishna is telling, no, in that inaction, there is action. Because they're trying to repress their senses. But senses, like mind, still is meditating on this sense object. And inaction, that means when we perform Krishna conscious activities, that is real inaction, because everything is connected to Krishna. Tarun?
Yes,
sir. So, and then Krishna talks about every action must be a form of sacrifice, yajna. So that is why when we say this varna and ashram, they're all a form of yajna. Unfortunately, you go from anywhere, whether it is India, America, Europe, everywhere, there are four classes of people: intellectual, administrative, business, and service provider. But they are not yajna. What is meaning of yajna? Yajna means they must be performed in a sanctified way to please the absolute truth. So varieties, forms of yajna is talked in the next section in the chapter 4. Sacrifices. One category of sacrifices would lead to the realization of the Brahman aspect of the absolute truth. Another categories of the absolute truth, another categories of sacrifices would lead to the realization of the Paramatma, or localized feature of the absolute truth. And then there is another category of sacrifice that leads to realize the complete feature of the absolute truth as Bhagavan. Badanti tattattva vidas tattvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti Bhagavan eti sabhyata. So, sacrifices is a must. Everything is a sacrifice. Teacher cultivating the character of the students is a sacrifice. If teacher is alcoholist, students are alcoholist, finished. And this is what is happening in the modern age. Teachers are engaged in illicit sex, so also students. This is the modern status. These are not conducive for a fulfillment in human life. Everything is a yajna. Vibaha yajna. Everything is a yajna. Everything must be sanctified. Like in first canto, third chapter, Srila Prabhupada says, for progress in spiritual life, in Krishna consciousness, mind must be controlled. And how mind can be controlled? Mind can be controlled if we sanctify eating, mating, sleeping, and defending. These are the four things we do. Every, whether it is animal or human, we do all these four things. So these four things have to be sanctified. So everything, you know, when we eat, it must be yajna. How do we eat? Yajna sishto sano santa. Muchyante sarva kilvisai. Bhunjanti te togam papa. Patanti ye atma karanat. This is, I am not saying, Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita. When we offer everything to Krishna, the food is sanctified. Everywhere you go to any temple in India, you will get some prasadam. And Jagannath Puri is most famous. You go there, you get full plate of prasadam. You go to Udupi temple, you know, I was amazed at how lakhs of people are fed full prasadam, nisulka, free. Same thing also in Guruvayur, in Kerala. So, everything is a, you know, whatever activity we do, those activities must be done in a sanctified way. Yajna. Because when we perform any action in the form of yajna, then transcendental knowledge awakens within our heart. When I say Krishna is the absolute truth, that becomes self-evident. Yajna is a must. And yajna, in the structure of Varnashrama, makes it very scientific, because by that way, our material modes gets engaged in divine engagement, by which we make rapid progress in spiritual path. And ultimately, how this transcendental knowledge must be accepted? This transcendental knowledge must be accepted by a process. Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprasthena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninam tattvadarshina. So there are three elements to acquiring the transcendental knowledge. First element is there must be the aptitude of humility and seeking the truth. Nobody can practice spiritual life with arrogance. Arrogance and spiritual life, they don't go well together. They go ill together. Sattad Biddhi Pranipatena. Pari Pranipata means offering proper respect. So when we come to hear about Bhagavad Gita, we must have that proper attitude for the teacher. Nowadays in modern day education, we pay fees and teachers, they teach us. Because we are paying fees, there is no respect for the teacher as well. But in ancient time in Gurukula, everybody were given free education. But their education, even if, like, you know, the martial arts were taught, or, you know, like Arjuna. Arjuna is an expert in all 64 kalas. Whether it is music, dancing, everything, he was a master. You won't find a better, complete human being. If you say, who is the complete human being?
Hare Krishna, is that Prabhuji's voice is breaking for me?
That you have heard, that was born. My voice is breaking?
Yeah, now it is fine, Prabhu. Just now it was breaking a little bit, but now it is fine.
Oh, okay, okay. Anyway, I'm now coming to, because it's already 7 o'clock, I'll come to an end.
Okay. So can we rotate the chair? You are not visible to us.
That's 2 minutes. That's 2 minutes. Okay. So what I was telling, that tadviddhi pranipatana pariprasnana. Pariprasna. Pariprasna means asking humble, asking questions with humility. We must ask question with humility, not with arrogance. To learn means you cannot say, hey, why you are saying no meat eating? Now ask the question with humility. Why no meat eating? You will get an answer. No, I have the freedom to eat whatever I like. So with that mood, if you come, we cannot give an answer. With proper mood, people must come and ask the question. Sevaya. Service. Like Prabhupada has given us so many services. Getting up early morning, performing Mangala Arati, reading Bhagavatam, reading Bhagavad Gita, going to the street for Sankirtan, distributing prasadam, preaching Bhagavad Gita to others, building temples. So, varieties of services. And these services are, everybody must perform services. Sevaya. When these three things are connected, then this transcendental knowledge will be self-evident within us. So, we are very fortunate that in this age of Kali, we were blessed by His divine grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And He made the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita so easily understandable. I was telling, I think, 2 days back or so, I was reading Bhagavad Gita before I started reading Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. Almost more than 3 years, because I started reading Bhagavad Gita every day, one chapter in Odia from August 1988. And I was reading until 1993, February, every day one chapter. But nothing was, I was not getting anything except probably one thing that I got attracted, Nimitta Matra Bhava Sabyasachi. But nothing. So by the grace of Guru and Krishna, the transcendental knowledge becomes self-evident to us. So thank you very much for joining. If you have any question, you can ask.
Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very much, Prabhu, for again a very wonderful class. And I think last time when you came, you summarized chapter 7 for us. This time you summarized chapter 3 and 4 of Bhagavad Gita. Thank you, Prabhu. So, Prabhuji, one question I have. You mentioned that this transcendental knowledge even purifies liberated souls. Right?
Now, Varnasrama system.
Varnasrama system purifies liberated souls. So they are already
even liberated soul who have nothing to do, even they get purified by performing varnasram, because they are all prescribed by Krishna.
They are already liberated, right, Prabhu? So
they are liberated, but even if you are liberated, you are in this material world. If you perform varnasrama, then you are following Krishna. So you get further in purification. There is no limit.
Oh, okay.
You cannot say that I am pure. There is a level. You go on, go on, go on.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much, Prabhu. So one question I had, Prabhu, about always this Naranarayana incarnation, Naranarayana Rishi incarnation. So they appeared, say, in Satya Yuga, Prabhu, and then there is
exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But they are there from the beginning. They are there from the beginning of the creation.
Okay. Means from the day, beginning of Brahma's day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they are there, the ability to perform austerity for the pleasure of Krishna comes from him.
Okay.
Just like the ability to destroy everything comes from Lord Shiva. See, Naranarayan Rishi. So, you see that Naranarayana and Krishna and Arjuna, they are same. That's why if you go to Badrinath, you will see there Badri Vishal, Krishna and Arjuna. Arjuna's Vigraha is there. Badri Vishal is Krishna and there is Arjuna. So Krishna and Arjuna is same as Naranarayan in ontologically.
Okay.
But their purpose is, Naranarayan Rishi's, the purpose is that because they are performing austerity, they are performing austerity from the beginning of the creation so that we get inspired. And they are performing that austerity without any interruption. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam. Hare Krishna.
So Hare Krishna. Sureshwar Shyam Prabhu.
Yeah, anybody has any questions, comments, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam.
Ask Prabhu. Yes.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Very beautiful class. Prabhu, in your class, you talked about a little bit touched about schools and teachers and school system. You know, if teachers are not in a right mood, that of course the students are not in a right mood. I just wanted to let you know, I sent my son to your Gurukula, to Prabhupada Gurukula, BGIS. So he'll be starting next year. We are from Canada. So Prabhu, please talk something about your school. It's such a glorious school that Prabhupada started and you are right now, you know, conducting it in such a beautiful manner. I talked to, in a couple of sessions, I talked to the other teachers, principal and other Prabhuji, but never had a chance to meet with you. So please, Prabhu, enlighten something on that for people like us sitting in Northern America and stuff.
You say that we still have to go a long way in making a proper Gurukul. But what we have done in our Gurukul, we have created a world-class facilities for that, so that our kids or children get engaged in varieties ways, serving Krishna, even if they are not interested. Children, children are children. You have to trick them to perform Krishna consciousness, but you should not force them to perform Krishna consciousness. So our children, when they go to, we have a very beautiful Goshala. Children really feel very, very happy just being there and doing kirtan, chanting, dancing, right? We have, organic farm. So organic farm means we grow everything within our land, from wheat, rice, mustard, all vegetables, literally even potatoes. Everything we grow there. So they get pure, not only the organic food, they also get the milk of these country breed cows. So we are creating an atmosphere for them so that they go with an impression. So they may not, because becoming spiritual or becoming Krishna conscious is a voluntary process where you personally accept it. But what we try to give them certain culture, and hopefully those culture at some point of time will ignite within them the urge to appreciate, to know Krishna more, appreciate Krishna more. So we are... we have created through Learn Gita, Live Gita course curriculum for them by which they can complete Bhagavad Gita thematic wise. And besides, of course, we teach them also the ICS syllabus there. And we have tried to keep as many good teachers. You know that Vrindavan, many don't, well-qualified academic people, they don't come to Vrindavan to stay and teach. So we have a severe problem in getting quality professional. As far as devotional is concerned, we have good quality. But as far as professional quality is concerned, we need some good people to come live with us and impart education. So this is very short, I gave you the answer.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Please take him. I send him to you now, from me to you. So please take care of
him. Sure. We will take care of him.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hari Bol, Hare Krishna.
If there is any
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, thank you so much for that wonderful class. So you very well explained about the Varnashrama and and about the third chapter and fourth chapter. You gave such a wonderful summary, and very nice to hear about the Gurukul. Hopefully, by Krishna's mercy, many of them will join with you in the Gurukul. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for that wonderful class. So devotees, if you have any questions and realizations, please go ahead. Do you have time, Prabhuji?
Thank you. Vanchakalpatravesha, Krupa Sudevasya,
Prabhuji, do you have time for questions? Mataji is asking.
Yeah, I have. I thought that questions are over.
No. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I have time for questions. You can ask.
Hare Krishna, yeah. Prabhuji, Dhanotram. Thank you so much for the beautiful class. And very inspiring. I have a question regarding Nar Narayan Rishi. So you said there are deities of Krishna and Arjuna, means they are Nar Narayan. And who is Anantashesh in that avatar, Nar Narayan avatar? Means whenever Lord comes, he comes with Anantashesh. We see Lakshmana, we see Nityananda, Balarama.
No, here, there are only Naranarayana. There is no Ananta. Okay, you see that even Lakshmi is not there. Because their purpose is that is why this is called Badri Narayana. Why Badri Narayana? Because Lakshmi has become the bale.
Tree.
The Badri tree. But the bear tree. But not bear, it's a Badri tree. Okay. So because you see, when someone performs austerity, you cannot expect some service there. Anantasasa serves. Lakshmi serves. So they are present in a different. I don't know how Anantasasa is serving there, but even Lakshmi is serving because they are performing austerity. So she becomes Badri tree to give them the seed.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. And thank you very much for coming on the call and giving your association. And very inspiring, your whole life is in all devotees' life is always inspiring. But you grew up in very remote place, in village. And I heard the class, your interview. So it was so nice, Prabhuji. You can share some pastimes from your childhood.
No, there is nothing special. The only my childhood, the only thing is that we were brought up in lap of the nature. So I think that was the God's grace. But those days. The life was like that in as far as village is concerned. You see that in my time until I went, I gave the exam in 11th board, we were studying with lantern. So there was no electricity even. So I still remember we really enjoyed our moonlit night because that is the time when you can play in the evening time, because there is moonlit night, you can play. Otherwise, it's dark. And we enjoyed. When I personally feel the soothing, the soothing aspect of the moonlight. So, yes, the mode of goodness was so wonderful that it was so innate within us. In our brought up the way we were brought up. So Krishna consciousness became very easy for us because those kind of life we must give to our children. We must give to our. See, nowadays children, they live in passion and ignorance, and those kind of environment is not at all conducive for them to ask proper questions. Only in mode of goodness you can ask questions that are like, for example, from my very childhood days, I had understood that when we go to temple, we should not ask anything to the Lord. We should always feel happy that we are in the presence of the Lord. So that is why when I was doing my PhD, every day, evening, I will go to the Jagannath temple. And my Odia friends, looking at them, I could realize that they have come to beg something from the Lord. So I would tell, Lord wants everything and he gives you everything. What you have to beg? So many things became self-evident because of a very simple sattvic life in which we were brought up. And I think the most significant influence in my childhood time is Jagannath and Jagannath Rath Yatra, and plus where my father was working, the appearance of Lord Shiva from three big trees. We were staying in a mud hut house, and in front of our house there was a big playground, and there one Baba came there, and this Baba made everyone to perform bhajan, and there was bhajan every day. And all those people, because they're all tribals, they were eating chicken, they were eating non-veg things, but everybody became vegetarian. And suddenly one day, the Baba told that Lord Shiva is here. It's almost like 2-3 kilometers from our house, and it's a deep jungle. And he took his followers, and they almost caught the tree from 8 feet height on the up, not from the root. And we were very curious because when we visited, we saw, I have never seen, I think Tanjavur Lord Shiva is little bigger, but this particular Lord Shiva is, the Shiva Lingam is very tall, almost like 6-7 feet tall. And the Baba would tell that you dig here, and then there is a stream. Nice pond. And whenever we visited this place, now there is a sense of a tranquility within. You feel like to be there. Your question is very relevant because this is what is Bharatavarsha. It's a beautiful land for a spiritual life. This land is very supportive. Anybody who would like to make progress, he will find something to give him stimulus. Somewhere we will find an invisible guide, invisible hand in this beautiful land of Bharatavarsha. I think I should stop in this question, because if I go on speaking, then this will take a lot of time. I think there are some more questions. If there are questions, yeah, they can take.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. So, devotees, if anyone has any questions and comments, please go ahead with Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I don't have any questions. I just wanted to say thank you so much for your class, and especially thank you for sharing what you just shared about the way that you grew up and your experiences. It's just such a good reminder of how important it is to live a simple life. It's so much easier to practice your Krishna consciousness that way rather than getting distracted by so many things that, I mean, everywhere we turn, there's something. And I'm just grateful to hear that. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you for your beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji, for that realization and comments. So anyone has any questions, please go ahead.
Yeah.
Mataji, we have demo or not, Mataji, today?
It's 8:53.
Yeah.
Okay. So if no questions and realizations, let's end our call here. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for coming on the call and giving your valuable time and association. One chakal patra prasna.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.